Chapter 3 Covered in Bees. Zhao Yunlan drives for a long time. There's only the very occasional instruction from Daqing to turn here, usually almost too late. Once, he actually has to stop and then back up to make the turn. It's a good thing there's really no other traffic. Eventually, they arrive at a farm. Zhao Yunlan stares at the rickety-looking farmhouse with some disbelief. This is not what he'd been expecting. He's pretty sure there's a hole in the roof. The yard looks... well, there's a lot of green and flowers. Zhao Yunlan is not a very good judge of either of those things, but he's pretty sure it doesn't look like someone has been taking care of any of it. And that they've just grown whichever way they please. He's pretty sure grass isn't supposed to be knee-high. Zhao Yunlan isn't one to judge someone's yard work, or the lack thereof, but... Are you sure this place isn't abandoned? He asks Daqing. Daqing sighs and reaches for the door handle. Well, okay. Apparently Daqing is sure, or he just needs to get out. Really, Zhao Yunlan's bladder is making itself increasingly known, and he could definitely take some time to stretch out his legs too. If the place turns out to be abandoned, at least he'll have gotten the chance to move around some. He opens his own door and then hurries around to Daqing's side. He's just in time for Daqing to plant his feet on the ground outside, and Zhao Yunlan holds out a hand to him. "Let me help," Zhao Yunlan says quietly. He's been listening to Daqing be quietly in pain, his breathing tight and labored, for hours now, and he thinks there might be a permanent knot in his belly by now. Daqing takes his hand, and it's the first time Zhao Yunlan notices his nails look a lot like very sharp claws. Well, that could be awkward for some things. Unless they're retractable, like an actual cat's. Except, then why would they be out now? Zhao Yunlan shakes his head once, trying to focus his wandering thoughts. He grips Daqing's hand, and Daqing is careful enough that the claws don't even touch Zhao Yunlan as he helps Daqing up. Daqing wobbles a bit, and Zhao Yunlan steps a bit closer, just in case. Daqing shoves his gun into its holster, and then leans into Zhao Yunlan's side with a soft whine. "It really hurts," he complains, in a way he hasn't during all of the car ride. Weirdly enough, it makes Zhao Yunlan feel a bit better. Zhao Yunlan carefully wraps an arm around Daqing, trying not to touch where he remembers the bruising being. "You said you can get help here, right?" Zhao Yunlan asks. The knot in his belly seems to have somehow made its way into his throat, and is making his voice sound all strangled. Daqing presses the side of his face against Zhao Yunlan's shoulder for a moment, and hums in answer. Zhao Yunlan is going to take that as a yes. He really kind of needs it to be a yes. Apparently, movies really were right about that whole life and death situations bring people closer to each other thing. Who would have guessed? "You owe me so much for this, boss," Daqing mumbles into Zhao Yunlan's shoulder. Since his hands are kind of busy, Zhao Yunlan turns his head a bit and rubs his cheek against the top of Daqing's head. Daqing's soft ears press against Zhao Yunlan's cheek, and the cold knot in his belly loosens a bit. "Yeah, I really do," Zhao Yunlan says gruffly. Daqing takes a few breaths more before lifting his head. He doesn't say anything, but Zhao Yunlan figures that's his cue to start moving. They wouldn't exactly win any medals for the 100-meter dash, but they make their way toward the farmhouse at a steady pace. Daqing's body feels warm, pressed against Zhao Yunlan's side, and Zhao Yunlan valiantly tries to ignore the way he's pretty sure his own leg is starting to cramp. It would feel kind of petty to complain about that, considering the fact that Daqing is in very real pain, with an injury that might actually be serious. As they get closer to the porch, there's a sort of buzz in the air. Zhao Yunlan frowns, trying to figure out if he's just been sitting inside that badly air-conditioned car a bit too long, and now his ears are somehow acting up. In the next breath, there's a swarm of bees surrounding them, and Zhao Yunlan doesn't need to wonder about the sound anymore. Zhao Yunlan freezes. The bees keep buzzing all around them. They're everywhere. He's pretty sure some of them have landed on him. You're supposed to stay still in situations like this, right? Not that he's ever had a reason to look up information about swarms of bees. Funnily enough, he's never had any need to know all that much about bees before. He'd ask Da Qing if he has any ideas, but Jiayunlan feels like if he opens his mouth, the bees might just fly in there as well. So they just stand there. The bees keep buzzing and sort of just flying around them in what almost seems like excitement. Other than that, they don't really seem to be doing much of anything. Jiayunlan relaxes just a bit. Bees recognize royalty. A voice says from somewhere beyond the wall of bees. Jiayunlan looks up at the porch, at the man suddenly standing there. He can't exactly make out details with the bees obscuring everything, and frankly trying to look past all of them is making Jiayunlan feel a bit dizzy. Jiayunlan cautiously opens his mouth. Not a single bee makes any sudden moves that would hint at wanting to take the opportunity presented. No one said anything about royalty. Da Qing muffles a snort against Jiayunlan's shoulder. Jiayunlan is starting to feel pretty confident that he's not facing imminent death by bees. He takes a step toward the porch, and then another. The bees keep buzzing excitedly and Jiayunlan thinks they feel happy. He's not entirely sure he's supposed to be able to tell what bees are feeling. Let alone that bees are supposed to feel much of anything in the first place. Maybe these are space bees? Jiayunlan does not slap himself in the face for that thought, but he really feels like maybe he should. Shoo, he tells the really probably not space bees softly, and they kind of part around him and Da Qing and buzz higher up in the air where they just hover around. Okay, Jiayunlan thinks. Huh. Now he can actually tell that the grumpy-looking man on the porch is wearing jeans and a black tank top, along with a black scarf. Or scarves. That is a lot of scarf, in any case. Jiayunlan can't help giving an appreciative look to the very nice and muscular arms. Too bad the guy is staring at them like he might want to murder them. Or at least kick them off his not-apparently-abandoned-after-all farm. Jiayunlan stops just at the foot of the steps that lead to the porch and looks up at the man. Cat, the man says, staring at Da Qing. It's not what Jiayunlan would call a warm welcome. Why would you come here? Well, Da Qing had never said they were going to see a friend, had he? As long as the guy is willing to help them, Jiayunlan doesn't really care if his face is permanently stuck in that scowl. I thought, maybe you'd be angry enough at them to... Jiayunlan can feel Da Qing's shoulders rise and fall in a small shrug. His speech still sounds more than a bit labored, and Jiayunlan wants to tell them to get this over with already, so they can hurry up and fix whatever's wrong with Da Qing. And I don't really have elsewhere to go, Da Qing admits. The man keeps staring at them, his face still stuck in that scowl. Are you going to help or not? Jiayunlan demands, feeling annoyed and frustrated and still more than just a little bit freaked out about all of this shit. The man bows at them. At Jiayunlan? Out of all the things Jiayunlan might have expected as a response, that was not it. Of course, Your Majesty. The man says, like that's the kind of thing he just says naturally. Jiayunlan is too tired to have questions. He'll have questions later. Right now he just really wants someone to fix Da Qing and show Jiayunlan where the bathroom is. Not necessarily in that order, either. All right, then. Please do something about Da Qing's injury. Jiayunlan says, and he meant it to sound somewhat authoritative, but it comes out sounding a lot more like a plea, and a pathetic one at that. Jiayunlan squints at the door to the house. It looks surprisingly fine, considering the state of everything else. Now, is there a toilet in there? Yes, the man says slowly, Like he's wondering where Zhao Yunlan is going with that. Or like Zhao Yunlan is an idiot. Either or. But look, that's a fucking big hole in the roof of the house. Zhao Yunlan feels entitled to some skepticism regarding the state of the plumbing. Good, he says firmly. Now, come and hold that thing up, because I really need to take a piss right now. The bathroom is, in fact, a very ordinary bathroom, with a very ordinary and working toilet, which Zhao Yunlan makes use of with some relief. He washes his hands in the sink, and then dries them on the nice little towel hanging on the wall for that purpose. It has pictures of bees on it. Zhao Yunlan stares at his reflection in the mirror over the sink for a moment. He blinks a few times, and he definitely still looks the same. Messy fucking hair and everything. He doesn't look like he might have gone over the deep end and is hallucinating a bunch of space aliens. So, that's probably good. Too bad you probably can't tell that kind of thing by looking. Zhao Yunlan sighs and turns on the water again. He bends down to splash some water into his face. It doesn't make him feel remarkably more awake, but it's better than nothing. He hesitates a moment before using the bee towel to dry his face. He's probably not going to die from it. Zhao Yunlan feels the laugh bubbling in his throat and bites his lip to keep it down. He feels kind of like if he lets it out now, it might just never stop. He walks out of the bathroom to find Da Qing with his overalls down to his knees, and, oh look, he does wear some sort of underwear. Zhao Yunlan tilts his head a bit, trying to make some sense of what he's looking at. Except the large bruise covering a lot of Da Qing's left side is kind of distracting Zhao Yunlan from everything else. He hardly even notices the fact that apparently the overalls have been hiding a tail somewhere in there. A tail for a cat? Because why not, right? I don't exactly have much left. The other man grumbles as he walks up to Da Qing and sprays something over the large, ugly bruise over Da Qing's hip and belly. Zhao Yunlan almost says something about it, but then the bruise actually starts fading, and Zhao Yunlan feels his mouth fall open. Zhao Yunlan watches the massive bruise just vanish in front of his eyes. Da Qing gives a loud sigh of relief as it does. Zhao Yunlan is going to assume that that means that any possible internal injuries have vanished like magic too. He's sure if he asked there's going to be some sort of space science explanation that he's going to understand absolutely nothing of. So, Zhao Yunlan is just not going to ask and chuck it up to space magic. Da Qing pulls his overalls back up and looks at Zhao Yunlan with a small grin. Zhao Yunlan walks over to Da Qing and hesitantly puts a hand on his hip, where the injury had been. Not that he expects to feel anything, just... Da Qing feels warm through the overalls, and doesn't so much as flinch as Zhao Yunlan pushes his hand against Da Qing's hip more firmly. Zhao Yunlan blinks his eyes. They're suddenly all blurry. The cold knot inside him suddenly just unravels, and Zhao Yunlan feels faint. "You're okay," Zhao Yunlan says, and his voice sounds faint and far away. Da Qing butts his head up under Zhao Yunlan's chin, and Zhao Yunlan reaches out to scratch his ears absently. There's a low purr that vibrates against Zhao Yunlan. Zhao Yunlan breathes. "Yeah, boss, all good," Da Qing says. "Oh," Zhao Yunlan says, and then feels like that might not be enough. "Good." There's a snort somewhere behind him, but Zhao Yunlan chooses to ignore it. For all that they'd been in a hurry to get to this not-abandoned old farmhouse, now that they're actually here, they seem to be doing fuck all. Da Qing had declared that he needed a nap, and had just curled up on the couch and apparently fallen asleep in an instant. Zhao Yunlan can't blame him. He sort of wants to do the same. Maybe if he sleeps, he'll wake up in his own bed, ready for another morning of cleaning houses for people he loathes, and all of this will just have been some weird nightmare. Come to think of it, maybe this isn't all bad. Even if he doesn't particularly enjoy people trying to kill him. Yeah, he could definitely do without that part. But at least no one's asking him to clean anything. For a while, Zhao Yunlan stares at the man he still hasn't been introduced to. He seems more than content to just look back and scowl at Zhao Yunlan. There's a zigzag pattern shaved into the sides of his head, and Zhao Yunlan wonders if he does that himself. Zhao Yunlan doesn't think he'd ever have the energy to bother with something like that. You probably have to do it every day or something to keep it that neat. Shit. His brain is all over the place, isn't it? He drags his mind to something a bit more relevant and says, I'm Zhao Yunlan. I know, Your Majesty, the man says with a slight deferential nod and, oh, fuck him. Zhao Yunlan is pretty sure that he knows that Zhao Yunlan was expecting to get an actual name in return. Not that. Do I get a name to call you? Zhao Yunlan asks, because he doesn't have the brain power for subtlety right now. Or the patience. It's been a long day. I suppose I can just call you Grumpy Bee-Man, but that sounds impolite, doesn't it? There's an angry-sounding huff, and Zhao Yunlan makes a small mental fist pump of victory. Take that, Grumpy Bee-Man. Zhao Yunlan knows how to be a lot more annoying than he could dream to be. Zhao Yunlan is a fucking master at annoying people. Chu Shuzhe, the man says shortly. Nice to meet you, Chu Shuzhe, Zhao Yunlan says graciously, because his mother raised him up to be polite. Which he is. Sometimes. And it suits him. Chu Shuzhe grunts. It sounds a bit annoyed, Zhao Yunlan thinks. So, what happens now? Zhao Yunlan asks, because that seems like the most relevant question. Now I'm calling the Aegis, and they'll send a ship to get you, Chu Shuzhe says, and then proceeds to walk over to the chest of drawers over in a corner, and then fiddles with something or other. Zhao Yunlan is going to go with space radio. He waits patiently for Chu Shuzhe to do whatever it is he wants to do with that. There's not a lot of actual talking, so he supposes most of the actual information might be sent otherwise. Oh, then that's just all the information they need. So, what exactly is the Aegis, and where am I going? Zhao Yunlan asks, in what he thinks is a very reasonable way. He's not even yelling. He really maybe wants to yell. Or cry. Crying might be good too. Chu Shuzhe looks at him like he's something that was just scraped from the bottom of his boot and says, The Aegis is a police force. They'll send a ship to take you to the capital of the Galactic Commonwealth, and they can get all your stuff figured out there, Your Majesty. Zhao Yunlan blinks. He takes a moment to run that by himself again. But no, that was definitely an answer that actually made sense. Zhao Yunlan understood pretty much every part of that. Maybe he can manage to get more sensible answers if he tries. And what exactly will they figure out? Chu Shuzhe shrugs. None of my concern, Your Majesty, he says. Zhao Yunlan sighs. Well, it might have been too much to hope for. Zhao Yunlan isn't quite sure how someone manages to make the words Your Majesty sound both deferential and disdainful. But Chu Shuzhe is managing it just fine. He wonders if this is another thing like Da Qing's boss. Is he just supposed to roll with it? Pretend like he doesn't notice? How the fuck is Zhao Yunlan any kind of royalty just because he's... what exactly? A copy of some dead guy? I have a name, you know, Zhao Yunlan points out tiredly. You don't have to keep calling me that. Chu Shuzhe looks at him for a moment and then bows from his waist. I know, Your Majesty. It wouldn't be... right. His words are low and oddly reluctant. There's not a trace of that earlier disdain in them, though, and Zhao Yunlan wonders at the sudden change. Zhao Yunlan rubs at his eyes and sighs. He looks at Chu Shuzhe, who straightened back up and is just looking back expectantly. There's no point in trying to make an issue out of any of it, is there? It's not like being called Your Majesty is all that great of an annoyance. To be entirely honest, Jaiulan kind of likes it. Well, not the disdain that goes with it half of the time, apparently. But he really feels like he shouldn't like it. He's not like those rich assholes whose lives he gets to look in on mainly through the contents of their bathrooms, who like lording it over other people. This is some space thing I'm not quite getting again, isn't it? Jaiulan asks. And fuck, but he's really getting tired of having no clue what's going on. He has a feeling that he better get used to it, though, because apparently he'll be going off into space. He's not exactly sure how he feels about that little fact either, but it's definitely better than getting killed right here on Earth. I'm a B-splice, Trul-Shrul-Drur says. Like, that's an explanation, and then he just walks off. Jaiulan stares at the place he'd been standing for a moment and wonders if that's supposed to make sense. B-splice? Like, that thing is a cat splice. Jaiulan turns around and follows Trul-Shrul-Drur into the kitchen, apparently. So, you're a bee? Does that mean you can sense royalty too? Jaiulan asks curiously. He can still hear all those bees faintly buzzing around. The steady low hum has never quite stopped since he stepped foot in the house, like the bees might just be living in the walls. It kind of stopped creeping him out a while ago. He supposes you can get used to anything. But yeah, that shit still makes no sense. Do you, like, have to keep bowing and calling me Your Majesty? Is that a bee thing? Trul-Shrul-Drur doesn't say anything. Just puts a pan down on a counter with a bit more force than Jaiulan thinks is strictly necessary. But he's no expert on cooking. Maybe it's an important part of the process to bang pans hard enough that they clatter. Hey, do you make honey? Trul-Shrul-Drur growls. Jaiulan laughs. He feels a bit better already. Do you want to eat anything, Your Majesty? Trul-Shrul-Drur grits out. It sounds like a threat. Jaiulan's stomach growls in response. Yeah, he hasn't eaten since yesterday? Oh, right. He's been a bit too anxious and afraid for his fucking life to remember to feel hungry. But now that someone points it out, his belly suddenly feels like a hollow pit. Maybe that's not just the anxiety after all. Jaiulan spreads his arms and takes a step back. Shutting up now, he says. Trul-Shrul-Drur is still glaring at him. I'll just go see if the Ching is awake, Jaiulan says. He leaves Trul-Shrul-Drur in the kitchen, hopefully to make something to eat. Da Ching is still napping, so Jaiulan just plants himself down on the floor next to the couch and reaches out to run his fingers over Da Ching's ears. Da Ching flicks them in his sleep, but doesn't seem to stir at all otherwise. He's probably exhausted after everything. Jaiulan runs a finger down the soft fur of Da Qing's ear and then lets his hand tangle in Da Qing's hair. It makes him feel strangely better to do this, like he's petting an actual cat. It should be weird, shouldn't it? Da Qing's a person, not some stray cat that Jaiulan wanted to adopt when he was a kid but was firmly denied. No matter how many promises of taking good care of it he made. The food is passable and features more honey than Jaiulan is used to. Da Qing kept scrunching his nose at it, like maybe he wanted to say something, but then kept his mouth shut and just ate anything put in front of him anyway. Afterwards, there were some more answers to Jaiulan's questions about the ages and what exactly he was supposed to do at whatever capital. Apparently, he was supposed to be certified as the recurrence of this Kunlun. How that's going to actually help him, Jaiulan isn't exactly sure. But for now, he supposes all he can do is take Da Qing's word that it's the thing to do. He feels like every answer just leaves him with 100 more questions. Jaiulan feels like neither the answers nor the questions make any sense anymore. He keeps thinking he's asking the wrong questions anyway. But he has no clue what the right questions are. True Shoujo left to do farm stuff, presumably, at some point. Or possibly just to go hide and avoid Zhao Yunlan's questions. Da Qing declared the need for an after-dinner nap. Zhao Yunlan wanted to protest, but really, Da Qing has earned all the naps he wants. It's late enough now that it's grown dark, and Zhao Yunlan has made a space for himself outside in the grass. He's flattened both grass and flowers while he was at it, but no one will probably mind. It's not like anyone seems to care how well they're growing. The flowers smell nice, though, clean and fresh in a way Zhao Yunlan isn't quite used to. He stares up at the night sky, at the stars twinkling quietly up there. He thinks he can almost hear them. Zhao Yunlan should probably be sleeping. Even the bees have gone quiet. He wonders if bees sleep. Zhao Yunlan is tired enough for it, but his mind keeps going around in circles, and he can't quite fall asleep. Gods, he wants a smoke. Or at least a lollipop. But he has neither on hand. Somehow, stopping at a gas station to buy some had been right out of the question on the drive over. He wonders if there are lollipops in space, and if whatever Aegis ship coming to get him, them, might have any. There's a rustle of grass, and Zhao Yunlan's heart skips a beat, adrenaline spiking suddenly. He catches sight of Da Qing once he's pushed himself halfway to a sitting position. Da Qing's eyes gleam in the darkness, just like a cat's would, and Zhao Yunlan lets himself flop back to the ground. His rabbiting heartbeat calms down, and the fading adrenaline leaves him feeling drained. He gives Da Qing a half-hearted glare, and he thinks Da Qing shrugs before he flops down on the ground next to Zhao Yunlan. Zhao Yunlan doesn't even try to protest, as Da Qing settles in against Zhao Yunlan's side, just moves his arm to accommodate him. Da Qing lays his head on Zhao Yunlan's chest, and Zhao Yunlan pets his head and stares up at the quietly twinkling stars. You're coming with me, right? You can't get rid of me now, Da Qing says, in a way that seems to say that it'd be stupid of Zhao Yunlan to even try. Zhao Yunlan has the sudden urge to hug Da Qing against his chest. But that's ridiculous. They've known each other for, what, a little over a day? It's not like he actually is Da Qing's dead owner. It's weird enough that Zhao Yunlan keeps indulging in this. He keeps on petting Da Qing's hair anyway. So I'm stuck with you, huh? I guess I can live with that. He contemplates the stars for a moment and thinks about that stray cat he'd wanted to adopt when he was a kid. I've never had a cat before. Da Qing makes a noise that sounds like it's trying to be a hiss and a hum at the same time. It ends in a sort of half-choked noise. Zhao Yunlan waits as Da Qing gathers himself. You better not have any other cats, he declares in a tone that is trying to sound annoyed, but then he rubs his face against Zhao Yunlan in a way that's saying something entirely different. Zhao Yunlan smiles a little. Sure, it's weird as fuck, but it's also kind of comforting to have Da Qing right there. And right now Zhao Yunlan could do with some comfort. Even if it's someone who thinks of him as his dead owner. And fuck, Zhao Yunlan still hasn't quite figured out if that's a sex thing or not. He's not quite sure if he should ask either, because, well, this might not be the time to make things more weird. Maybe, once they're out of mortal danger, he can take the time to figure out what this whole thing with Da Qing is. I've never seen the stars like this before, Zhao Yunlan says instead, staring up at them like this. They look so very distant and cold. Somehow, he'd always thought stars were meant to seem more comforting. Da Qing makes a small noise that might be a question, or just a polite noise to say he wasn't totally ignoring Zhao Yunlan. Too many lights in the city, Zhao Yunlan explains anyway. I've never really been anywhere else. There's a moment of silence, and Zhao Yunlan suspects that Da Qing doesn't quite know what to say. That's fine. He doesn't need Da Qing to try to make him feel better. He's not even quite sure how he's actually feeling. Everything feels kind of distant right at this moment, just like those stars up there. What about Grumpy B-Man? Jiaoyunlan asks, trying to shake the weird mood he's in. Maybe he really just needs some sleep. Is he coming with us too? Da Qing gives out a soft snort. Yeah, he is. Why? Jiaoyunlan asks, and then takes a moment to try to figure out what he's actually trying to ask here. I mean, what's his story? He doesn't exactly seem eager to help. Lao Chu? He attacked an entitled and got exiled. Da Qing says a bit hesitantly. Well, there's a lot of that story being left untold. But then again, Jiaoyunlan isn't sure the details would tell him much more than that anyway. At least Jiaoyunlan knows what an entitled is now. Well, more or less. Less, really. What he does know is that apparently he is one, and royalty too, however that works out. Funny that he doesn't really feel like either. You're his ticket off this backwater planet, Da Qing says in explanation. Jiaoyunlan feels vaguely like he should be insulted on behalf of Earth, but he can't really muster enough energy for that. He supposes self-interest is as good a reason as anything. He can't fault Chu Shuzhu for that. And no matter the reasons, Jiaoyunlan will be happy to have another at least somewhat familiar face with him out there, even if the face in question is set in a permanent scowl. He can't really think of anything more to say, so he just stays quiet and keeps petting Da Qing. You should come inside, Da Qing says after some time. Did you come out here just to tell me that? Jiaoyunlan asks. That's nice of him, Jiaoyunlan thinks. Da Qing huffs. The Aegis ship should be here tomorrow, and there are still people looking for us, Da Qing points out. If that's supposed to make Jiaoyunlan feel more like sleeping, then it's not really working. But he gets the point. He should rest while he can. He pushes Da Qing's head away from him and sits up. Fine. Whatever you say. That's right, Da Qing says, sort of self-satisfied. I'm a 10,000-year-old cat. You better listen to me. Jiaoyunlan wonders if that's actually true, because that's... No, he's just not going to think about it. He's going to go inside and get some sleep, and thinking will be left for tomorrow.